Now, Israel, listen to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to follow, so that you may live, enter, and take possession of the land Yahweh, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You must not add anything to what I command you, or take anything away from it, so that you may keep the commands of the Lord your God I am giving you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God destroyed every one of you who followed Baal of Peor. But you who have remained faithful to the Lord your God are all alive today. Look, I have taught you statutes and ordinances as the Lord my God has commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to possess. Carefully follow them, for this will show your wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the peoples. When they hear about all these statutes, they will say, "This great nation is indeed a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call to him? And what great nation has righteous statutes and ordinances like this entire law I set before you today? Only be on your guard and diligently watch yourselves, so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen, and so that they don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. The day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, 'Assemble the people before me, and I will let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and may instruct their children.' You came near and stood at the base of the mountain, a mountain blazing with fire into the heavens and enveloped in a dense black cloud. Then the Lord spoke to you from the fire. You kept hearing the sound of the words, but you didn't see a form. There was only a voice. He declared his covenant to you. He commanded you to follow the Ten Commandments, which he wrote on two stone tablets. At that time, the Lord commanded me to teach you statutes and ordinances for you to follow in the land you are about to cross, into and possess. For your own good, be extremely careful, because you did not see any form on the day the Lord spoke to you out of the fire at Horeb, not to act corruptly and make an idol for yourselves in the shape of any figure, a male or female form, or the form of any beast on the earth, any winged creature that flies in the sky, any creature that crawls on the ground, or any fish in the waters under the earth. When you look to the heavens and see the sun, moon, and stars, or the array of heaven, do not be led astray to bow down and worship them. The Lord your God has provided them for all people everywhere under heaven. But the Lord selected you and brought you out of Egypt's iron furnace to be a people for his inheritance, as you are today. The Lord was angry with me on your account. He swore that I would not cross the Jordan and enter the good land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. I won't be crossing the Jordan because I am going to die in this land, but you are about to cross over and take possession of this good land. Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you, and make an idol for yourselves in the shape of anything he has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. When you have children and grandchildren and have been in the land a long time, and if you act corruptly, make an idol in the form of anything, and do what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God, provoking him to anger, I call heaven and earth again as witnesses against you today, that you will quickly perish from the land you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. You will not live long there, but you will certainly be destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be reduced to a few survivors among the nations, where the Lord your God will drive you. There you will worship man-made gods of wood and stone, which cannot see, hear, eat, or smell. But from there you will search for the Lord your God, and you will find him when you seek him with all your heart and your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, you will return to the Lord your God in later days and obey him. He will not leave you, destroy you, or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore them to them by oath, because the Lord your God is a compassionate God. Indeed, about the earlier days that preceded you, from the day God created man on the earth and from one end of the heavens to the other, has anything like this great event ever happened, or has anything like it been heard of? Has a people heard God's voice speaking from the fire as you have and lived? Or has a God attempted to go and take a nation as his own out of another nation by trials, signs, wonders, and war, by a strong hand and an outstretched arm, by great terrors, as the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? You were shown these things so that you would know that the Lord is God. There is no other besides him. He let you hear his voice from heaven to instruct you. He showed you his great fire on earth, and you heard his words from the fire. Because he loved your fathers, he chose their descendants after them and brought you out of Egypt by his presence and great power, to drive out before you nations greater and stronger than you, and to bring you in and give you their land as an inheritance, as is now taking place. Today, recognize and keep in mind that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below, and there is no other. Keep his statutes and commands, which I am giving you today, so that you and your children after you may prosper, and so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you for all time.
Thank you, Tim, for that long reading, and well done. Please keep your Bibles open, friends, at this particular chapter of God's Word. And let me lead us in prayer as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray now, as we try and look at it more closely, that you would speak to us from it, so that we might follow you more nearly and love you more dearly, day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here at Janelli Church, you'll hear a lot about the Bible. You'll hear long Bible readings. You'll talk about the Bible. You'll study the Bible. You'll be shown a Bible. You'll be encouraged to read a Bible. Read a Bible in the big group, in small groups, and at home by yourself or with your family. And we're going to teach it to really old adults and really young children because we think the Bible is important. Why? Why do we spend so much time in this old book? And why are Narelle and I around South Asia or East Asia sharing the Bible and wanting to see people grow in the Bible and understanding the Bible and living out the Bible? Why? Because it's God speaking to us. It's a record of God speaking to his world and his people. It's a record of God speaking directly to his people. It's a record of God speaking to prophets who then passed on the word of God to his people. It's about God speaking through history, especially the history of his people. And he speaks and he wants us to hear, to listen and to obey. Look at that in verse 1. Now Israel, listen to the statutes and ordinances, that is, the way to obey. The teaching that I want you to obey, the teaching I want you to follow, says Moses. You see, God's word is not just for information, it's about transformation. You've had information about Narelle and me and our work because we want you not just to have that information but be transformed by praying for us as we pray for you. God's word, God in his word wants to speak to us so we not just know about him. Yes, that's one thing we do, but we want to be transformed by his word. So we live as he is our Lord, because that's who he truly is. And we're not to add to it, verse 2, or take anything away from it. It's got to be God's word, which is why it's important to have the Bible open in front of you as you hear someone preach or as you're listening to a podcast or reading a Christian book. You've got to compare it with what God says to what they say, and what God says is what is important. God says, don't take anything away, don't add anything to it. And so here is Moses speaking in Deuteronomy chapter 4 to the people of God. And he wants God's people to be transformed. He's speaking, as you were told last week by Neil, he's speaking to the second generation. Moses was with the first generation, bringing them out of Egypt and wanting to bring them into the promised land. What should have taken 11 days' journey took 40 years. Do you think Moses got lost? No, he didn't. It was because God's people in that first generation didn't want to listen to God. They disobeyed. They heard the word, but they didn't obey. And so they were punished and spent 40 years wandering the wilderness. And now this second generation has risen up, and Moses is standing right on the edge of the promised land and saying, Verse 1, listen to all the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching to you to follow, so you may live in the land, enter the land, and take possession of the land that Yahweh, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Moses wants God's people to listen this time and obey and be transformed and enter into the promised land. And God's preserved this book for us because he wants us to enter the promised land, as Neil reminded us, not the land of Palestine, but the promised land, that is the land of heaven, the land of being with God and with his people forever, and a place that will be so much more greater than Palestine or even the Shire. A place of no sickness or pain or struggling in relationships or with sin, ourselves. It'll all be gone. And so God's word is going to help us to do that. So we're called to read. And you see in verse 1, not just read and hear the words like a politician talking or a lecturer talking or a teacher talking, and they're just kind of words, blah, 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 blah. We're actually to listen carefully and closely and intently. Were you doing that as Tim was reading? Because that's what we should be doing. It's like God writing a love letter to us, saying, here, I want you to listen to what I'm saying. I want you to know that I'm your friend, your lover, who cares for you. And so when I warn you, listen to those warnings and heed the warnings. When I encourage you, listen to that and be encouraged. How do we listen to God's word? Well, we're going to look at 3 points. God who speaks to guide us home. The God who speaks, secondly, because his word is good to us and will help us. And thirdly, the word of God is very good for us. So let's have a look at the first point. Whoops, went blank then. Listen to the statutes and ordinances. Not just hear the words, but obey. Live them out as though this is a very important letter to you personally. Because it is to you personally and all of God's people, so that we might enter into that promised land that God is seeking for us to live in. Moses is not going to enter in, but he wants the people of God to enter in. And he knows it's going to be difficult, which is why he says you may live, enter, and take possession of the land that Yahweh is going to give your fathers. We live in a land in Hong Kong which is different to the land of Australia. We're going to Singapore and visit Laos. They'll be different places where the word of God is not the basis of foundation of people's lives or certainly of society. And as we watch you and listen to what's happening in Australia, we hear it's harder and harder to live for God, to stand up for his ordinances and his ways, to say that's what our society is based on anymore. And so our prayer is for you as you live in this place, that you'll be faithful and trustworthy and believe the promises of God. That's what he's saying. Trust me, even though it's difficult, trust me, I will get you in. I will take you in. And the way you learn and trust me is reading his word. That's our prayer for you, and we pray that you'll pray that for us and the people that you minister, that they will be changed and transformed by God's word and led by him into the promised land. Look at verse 3 and 4, because God's word helps us. It's good for us. It warns us. Right at the very beginning, Moses says, your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor. For the Lord your God destroyed every one of you who followed Baal of Peor. Read Numbers 25. It tells you what happened at Peor, where God's people died, 24,000 of them. Why? Because there was mass sexual immorality with the Moabite women who were leading the people of God astray to worship the god of Baal Peor. And God brought judgment on them. So God's saying here, disobedience brings judgment and death. But look at verse 4, it's the opposite. But you who have remained faithful to the Lord your God are all alive today. This is what happened to this second generation. They were just like the first. Some were led astray and were judged and died. Some were faithful and are still alive. And yet they still have to be obedient. They still have to live God's word. They still have to take it in and internalize it and live that, the way that God wants them to. And God's word warns us, as he warned the second generation of Israelites here. listen to God's word, obey. Otherwise, there's judgment and death. Instead, choose life. God's word warns us. Secondly, God's word is good because it helps us in our witness. Look at verses 6 to 8 with me. Carefully follow them, for this will show your wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the peoples in the land. When they hear about all these statutes, they will say, this great nation is indeed a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call to him? And what great nation has righteous statutes and ordinances like this entire law that I set before you today? People are watching you live as God's people. And the word of God helps us to live ways that are helpful, are wise. Not necessarily wise in terms of military might or beauty or rich wealth, but wisdom for life. Wisdom in understanding our world. Wisdom in understanding our world and its suffering even, and our world and even death. God's word helps us to live godly lives. People will watch you. People watch you particularly when you're driving and you might have on the back of your car some sort of Christian emblem or sticker. They'll watch how you drive. They'll watch how you relate to each other. Your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents. They'll watch how you relate to neighbours. They'll watch how you relate to difficult customers or tough bosses or frustrating staff. They'll watch you. They'll watch you the way you handle crises. They'll watch you even in the way you live your life and maybe even die your death. Let me introduce you to three people. There's Maggie in blue and her son Hadrian, and Maggie's husband Cy, and Hadrian's dad Cy. When we first arrived, Maggie was ready. She'd put up her hand to say, oh, I want to follow Jesus and I want the world to know that, so I want to be publicly baptised. And here she is, being about to be baptised. I had that joy and privilege of preparing her for baptism. She really knew Jesus' work in her life and was wanting to say, I want to follow Christ for the rest of my life. And Hadrian, as a four-year-old, also wanted that, and I had the joy of preparing him as well. Maggie and I prayed, though, for Cy, because he too hadn't made that decision. But he's watching Maggie, and he's watching a friend live her life. So I can introduce you now to Cy. Bye. Thanks very much, Zach. Playing the next video.
About 3 years ago, a really good friend. She was a really dear friend. She was really humble. She was very Christ-like. We really, really admired her in many ways. And then suddenly one day she collapsed. And I was holding her in my arms, her grey, lifeless body. And then within a day she died. There's a lot of soul-searching for myself and my family, thinking about the nature of life and death. Where did she go? Did she leave unfulfilled? Did she feel that her life was incomplete in any way? Why did she have to die so young? It led to a lot of questions about this, and it led us to explore God. And that's how we kind of found our way to St. Andrew's, to find a way to explore God and kind of explore the meaning of life. It was almost as if through her death we found life. And even though the experience was very traumatic and very difficult at the time, when I look back at it, it's very much as if she gave her one life for freedom that came to Christ, my wife, myself, and also our son. It led me to a lot of thinking about what Christianity is, and I came to think that Christianity must be an open invitation to have a relationship with God. And if that's true, then how do we have a relationship with God? have we have a relationship with Jesus? Who are they? What is their identity? And that kind of led us to explore more of St. Andrew's, and thankfully we've blessed with so many great teachers at St. Andrew's through the various courses that the church offers, Christianity Explored and Life Explored. And they really were really encouraging and helpful to help me answer some of these questions I had about the nature of God, who Jesus was, why did he come, what was his purpose, and how can I respond. I think our relationship with God is really similar to a marathon. You know, at the end of the day, it's something we do alone. But when you think about it, to run a marathon well, you have to have like-minded people to run with you and to train with you, people that can run faster than you. And I think that's the beauty of some of the courses that we offer here, like Christianity Explored, where you've got fantastic people that are very encouraging on your journey with Christ. Since coming to God, my life has really changed fundamentally, my values, the way I see things, I think the way I interact with people. I think we're much more hopeful as a family, that we have much broader perspective, that maybe some of the things we're focusing on in the past weren't as important as we thought they were. And it's easy to get caught up in Hong Kong in our everyday lives, material things and whatnot. But when we have a bigger perspective and we have the love of God and we have that relationship with God that is enduring and eternal, perhaps realizing some of these things don't matter as much as we think they should. I think I'm quite lucky having found St. Andrew's, because I like studying, and so I was able to go on Life Explored, Christianity Explored. I've been on 6 Equip courses, the Partnership course as well. So for me, it got to a point where it's like, Sai, I think you need to give back. And so when I was asked to volunteer and be part of Christianity Explored recently, I was more than happy to do that, because I felt that through the journey that I've went through in recent years and the love and support that I've got, I wanted to somehow give back and help others on their journey, whether they're facing difficulties or whether they're just curious about God or just have fundamental questions about faith. But we're all in this together. It's a journey that we all face together, and can't be done alone.
So Sai heard the word of God, watched it being lived out by his friends and his wife, and then decided to follow Jesus. And he had excellent teachers like Narelle and me do 6 PTC, more college courses, and now he's teaching others about Jesus by sitting on a table at Christianity Explored, and one of the people on his table wants to stand up and say, I want to follow Jesus. What a great joy it is. God's word helps us in our witness. Can I go to that? Thanks very much, Zach. And here's me baptizing Sai just recently because he wants to follow Jesus, because he watched someone live a faithful life and saw how wise she was. People are watching you live a life that shows you're deeply involved and engaged with the word of God and obedient to it. God's word helps us, warns us, helps us with witness. And God's word helps us to remember. Look at verse 9. Only be on your guard and diligent. Watch yourselves so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, so that they may not slip from your mind as long as you live. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. It's important to be engaging in the word of God and remembering what God has said. What remembering does is bring what's happened in the past into your present. And then some of you might live for the future. And it might be a thing that's happened in your past, but also might be something that's happened in someone else's past that they've written about or you've heard about. And remembering what they've said or you've read it brings it to your present. Some of you might live for the future. And that's what Moses is saying here. Don't be like the past people. Don't be like your fathers. Don't be like those of that first generation who perished and didn't enter the promised land. Be faithful. Guard yourselves. And you've got to work hard at it, so that we don't forget. And we don't have to do it for ourselves. We're to teach it to our children and our grandchildren. So as we've said, thank you for praying for us at Resurrection. We again want to say thank you for praying for our next generation, our daughter Beth. Here she is as a teacher in Hong Kong. And she wants to follow Jesus. And she's been teaching at a Christian international school in Hong Kong. Now she's come back and is here in Sydney, about to start tomorrow as a teacher. She's got herself a temporary job as a primary school teacher for year six at Mount Druitt. And it's not only Mount Druitt School, it's the Australian Islamic College in Mount Druitt. So she's going to have to stand up and say, not that she's going to teach religion or stand up and, you know, say every day, I'm a follower of Jesus, but the way she lives will be watched closely. She wants to stand up for Jesus and help these people come to know Jesus in the way that she's able to as a teacher. She's doing it because she's lived in Indonesia and she has Muslim friends. And we've had Muslim staff working with us in Indonesia. And so, not people to be afraid of, but there would be people to show Jesus to. And so thank you for praying, because our next generation is remaining faithful to Jesus. And pray for her at the school. And thank you for all of those who are involved in teaching those who are under the age of 18 here at Denali in the Youth and the Children program. Thank you. It's so important and so great that you were able to do it. And we want to keep doing it in Hong Kong as well. And thank you for those of you who are parents and the way you're teaching your children, or ought to be teaching your children about Jesus. And thank you for those who are praying for the people who are teaching children about Jesus, because it is so important to remember, so that they will remember and bring forward to their mind what God has been saying. God's word is good for us. And we're about to remind ourselves too again of God's great work for us in Jesus as we participate in communion. And as Jesus said at communion, do this in remembrance of me, bringing from the past to our present, so we might live in light of that in the future. Do this in remembrance of me. Fourth reason why God's word is good for us is that it's an antidote to idolatry. In verses 12 to 24, it's a large section where Moses reminds the people of God that when he spoke to them at Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb, they didn't see any particular form. Verse 15, for your own good, be extremely careful, because you didn't see any form on the day that the Lord spoke to you out of the fire at Horeb. Not to act corruptly or make an idol for yourself in the shape of any figure. And then it lists off male or female, so human or beasts that fly or crawl or swim or planets or moons or the stars. All those things that we can make idols of. That is, things that are created. No, we should be worshipping the Creator, the Word of God warns us. Because he's so far greater than the things that's been created or just imaginarily made up. Idolatry distracts us from the true worship of God, and God's word reminds us that we should not be tempted, not just things, but it may be relationships. It may be your job or your money or your contents of your house or you. We put ourselves in the place of God. God's word warns us and reminds us not to do that. And so it's for our good. And fifthly, in this last point, hearing God's word shows us God's power and glory. We read in verse 32. Indeed, ask about the early days that preceded you, from the day God created man on earth, when he spoke into the nothing, and there the universe became. That is a powerful word. And then he talks about, has anything great like this ever happened, or anything like it been heard of? Has the people heard God's voice speaking as from the fire, as you have, and lived? Again, talking about Mount Sinai, when God spoke to his people out of fire. We read of God's power and his glory and his might and his mighty acts as we read God's word. And God doesn't do this every generation and every part of the world all the time. No, it's written down so we might read it and be reminded of his glory and his power. And we especially know that in the New Testament through his glory and his power revealed in Jesus. We're about to come on to in just a moment. So the word of God speaks us to guide us home. The word of God is for our good. And the last point, the word of God is for our very good. The word of God is for our very good. There are words of God saying, live like this and be like this. And that's what we'd like to do as Christians, right? But do we? We don't do it very well, do we? Moses knew that. God knows that. Look at verse 25. Moses said, when you have children and grandchildren and you've been in the land a long time, and if you act corruptly, like the first generation did and the second generation did at Baal Peor, or you make an idol in the form of anything and do what is evil in the sight of the Lord your God, provoking him to anger. And then Moses goes on how they will be removed from the promised land, the land of promise. And they were, for their disobedience. God knows that we will fail him. That's why God saves first and then calls for us to obey. Rather than saying, obey, 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 do everything you have to do and then I will save you. He knows we can't save ourselves. That we need forgiveness. We need grace. We need mercy. We need love. So what do we do when that happens? Well, again, we turn to the word of God. Let's read on from verse 29. But from there, outside the promised land, you will search for the Lord your God, and you will find him when you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. God wants to be known. God speaks to us and says, come and hear and listen and get to know me. Be my son, be my daughter. Even if we make a mess of it and stuff up. Verse 30, when you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, you will return to the Lord your God in later days and obey him. He will not leave you nor destroy you or forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them by oath. Why? Because the Lord your God is a compassionate God. He wants all to be saved. And so he says, listen to my word. Remember what I've done for you and come back to me. So God's word offers that. So how can we be saved if we are not good enough? Well, maybe Moses could save. I mean, Moses, the servant of the Lord, the one who brought God's people out of the land of slavery with all those plagues, he was in control. He said the word and it happened. God was behind him, helping him. God helped him, enable him to part the Red Sea so that they may escape from this mighty Egyptian army and survive. And they did. Moses led them through the wilderness for 40 years. Maybe this one can save. No, look what he says in verse 21, Moses. The Lord was angry with me on your account. He swore that I will not cross the Jordan and enter the good land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. I won't be crossing the Jordan because I am going to die in this land, but you're about to cross over and take possession of this good land. Not even the great Moses could save them. Why? Well, don't forget he had murdered that Egyptian slave driver. And instead of speaking to the rock and bringing forth water when the people of Israel were complaining yet again, he was just angry with them and struck the rock. And God said, you're not coming into the promised land because you too have disobeyed me, Moses. Not even Moses can save. So we need someone even greater than Moses, don't we, to save us? Because Moses won't enter the promised land. The word of God steps into the pages of history. The word of God is Jesus. The word of God with hair and with skin. The word of God incarnate. At that first Christmas. So when we hear Jesus speak, when we read about it in the Bible, we're actually hearing God speak. When we see Jesus saving people in healing them, we see God saving them and healing them. When Jesus speaks in judgment, God speaks in judgment. When Jesus offers life, God is offering life. Here is the Word of God, the one who comes to live and lived the perfect life in full obedience to his Heavenly Father. The life we ought to have lived, the life Moses should have ought to lived. He comes. And then he dies. But why does he die? Why does he die having lived a perfect life? He should just walk into the promised land, shouldn't he? But no, he's actually like Moses. Well, in the end, Moses is like him. For in the end, the word of God dies for us. Look at what Moses again says, verse 21. The Lord was angry with me on your account. Because of the sin of the people of Israel, God was angry at Moses. But Moses wasn't the perfect saviour. One greater than Moses has come, Jesus. And as Jesus hangs on the cross and cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that very point, your sin, my sin, Moses' sin, the people of Israel's sin, is loaded onto Jesus. God is angry at Jesus on our account. And Jesus pays our penalty. The penalty we deserve is laid on him. What a great Saviour. What a great one, greater than Moses. What a great one that is contained in this book. And so surely we want to read it and engage with it and follow him and serve him. Because he not only died for us, he came back to life again for us. And show us the way that this sacrifice was perfect, complete. His work done. His life and his death and resurrection mean that we are now warned. If we don't choose obedience, we were choosing death. So choose life. We are encouraged for witness because he came to this world and understood what it was like. This one has come to warn us against idolatry, to serve him, because serving him is serving the living God. And this is the one who has come to say, here is God in all his glory and his might and his power, because he rose Jesus from the dead and he sent him on ahead of us to the promised land. And Jesus is there saying, come on, come people of Janelli, come people of Singapore and Laos, come and serve me. And so I'll leave you with these words, verse 39 and 40. Today, recognize and keep in mind that the Lord is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other. Keep his statutes and commands which I am giving you today, so that you and your children after you may prosper, and so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for all time. That is our prayer for you, and please may that be your prayer for us too. Let's do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for your word, and particularly this part in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Thank you for speaking to us in these words. And especially thank you for speaking to us in your Son, the Lord Jesus, the Word of God, who is very, very good for us. Thank you that we get to know him. And so we get to know you. And so we pray that you will help us to be people of the Word, reading it, studying it, inwardly digesting it, both in big groups and small groups and individually, to remember the good things you've done for us again and again, and to teach it to those around us, so that they too, with us, may enter into the promised land because of Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, and calling to come to him. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus. May your name be praised in our lives. Amen.